not a good story. No, forget it. Forget that. Forget that. Forget that. Forget you. We have to hurry this up because you have a job or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You work now Fridays.
Yep. Working again. Yeah, and actually on Fridays, believe it or not.
Okay. What time do you start?
Lunchtime.
Oh, so we got plenty of time to ramble on.
Sure. Yeah, lots of time.
All right. We got like 5 tangents from other tangents ready to go.
Perfect.
Hello and welcome to episode 494 of the Tube Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Were those words I said? I kind of got it partway through and realized I was trying to adjust the microphone and then forgot what I was saying.
Yeah, you said words.
I said words that all day in a row that made sense.
To me, maybe not to everyone else.
Yeah, it's the kind of shorthand we have. Episode 494. Boom. Here we go. All right. Uh-oh. We're in it. We're in it now.
What's happening?
You know, the same-ish.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, what's happening? We're almost the longest day of the year.
Yeah, we were outside in the evening until like after 9:30 the other night, and it was still light.
Hmm. It's just really weird this year because normally, like, you've been playing baseball the whole, you know, every night of the week, and it's sort of you ease into that my favorite day of the year,
right?
The longest day of the year, and it sneaked up on us this year.
Okay,
didn't it? I mean, kind of.
I agree.
Weird.
Yeah, I haven't been out in the evening at the park late like that very often. So yeah, it was surprising. It was surprising that, you know, someone said, "What time is it?" And this was last week when we were at a nearby park with a couple of friends, and we said, it's 10 o'clock and it was getting dark then.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know, just in the past and like even way, way back when I was, you know, still living in Vancouver, we'd play baseball. We played baseball at, say, Minaroo Park, and we had lights there, but you know, you have a 7 o'clock game, midweek game, you wouldn't even need the lights, you know? Of course, that was the first year we started playing with wood bats, so the games went very quickly that year. But but still, it was amazing. Like I just loved sitting out there after the game. And that nice, amazing sky, and like, but you kind of work your way up to it, like with spring training and all the other things that go on with summer, which have just obviously been put on hold this year. Am I saying things that people aren't aware of?
No,
Alan, why were they put on hold? What are you talking about?
I believe it's all very familiar to everyone.
Yeah, I get it. So if you do need to buy a new watch, which apparently your friend does, every time someone asks, "Hey, what time is it?" you just yell, "Time to get a new watch," and then walk off.
Yeah.
Very grade five. That's your grade five move.
Mm-hmm.
However, that person, if they wanted to buy a new watch, they should click through our site and buy it on Amazon. Help us out.
Right. Gotcha.
Speaking of that, I looked into getting an Australian link up. We've had requests. I say requests, it's just one, to get an Australian Amazon site. I'm working on it. It's not as easy as the other ones were.
Okay.
The other ones were pretty much just click here and sit back and get rich. I think something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good business model. Yeah.
Yeah. This one's a lot more hoops to jump through. So we'll see. We'll see when it gets up.
Okay. Can't wait to get the update.
No, no. I think you and I have to fly out there and maybe see what's going on and maybe set it up. That'd be a good road trip.
Okay. All
right. You ever been to Australia? It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure I'm up for it just yet.
It's a hike though. P.S.
Yeah. Okay.
15 hours from where you longer. It's like 24 hour flight from where I am here.
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
That's the show. Everybody tell me how safe.
Tell me how long it is to fly to other places in the world, Alan.
Well, I'll often go.
No,
to
no, don't
flight tracker site and just do as the bird flies. right. the crow flies. I'll just find out what flights are.
Yeah, maybe we can make a website.
There's already websites for that.
Okay.
But click through our site when you go to theirs, and we get 0% of the 0%.
Right.
Kids are back in school, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they started. This was the weird thing. It's after we talked last week, or I think we might have mentioned it. It said the kids are going back. The teachers had to make an elaborate plan of half the kids go, you know, 1 week, and then like our kids went back this week, but only for 2 hours. It went from like 10:30 till noon 30, which is a weird time. My kids, that just killed my kids. Starting at 9:15 in the morning, they're just out front of the house. Can we go to school? Can we go to school? Can we go to school?
Right.
No, you can't. Anyway, so half the kids do that, and then now next week, my kids are home. They get homeschooled for the week, while the other half of the kids go to school for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then the week after that, it's just back to normal. All kids go to school all at once, the end.
Wow. That'll be interesting.
Well, they've just honestly decided that it's not a thing anymore.
Okay.
And I mean that like in an actual testing and numbers thing, there are some studies that have come out that they're suggesting that kids are fine and in general. And also the numbers here are really, really low. We talk about it, I think, every week. And same with BC. Like, you guys have, you know, zero cases, right?
Yeah, it's pretty low.
Pretty low. Threat level pretty low for you guys to be out. Now, obviously, everyone's taking it seriously. You don't want to slip, but, you know, on the other hand, they're saying that, no, the kids should be good, and we're going to find out. And, so 1 more week of homeschooling, and then back to it for a month, and then summer vacation.
Great. Well,
summer vacation starts at the end of July here, not like June, like where it is where you are.
Okay.
So it wasn't, like, extended, or, like, there was some talk about the kids would just lose their summer vacation, like that 3 months that we took off in March would be their summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But that did not go over well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Evidently.
It's just a bit of a lost school year from the in-class standpoint.
From an in-class standpoint, yeah, for sure. But I don't know. I think my kids kept up okay. Hard to say. We'll find out. Yeah. Ready for the woodwork update?
Yes.
No pictures this week because I'm not done. I don't like that. I don't want to post pictures until I'm done. My wife had mentioned after I made that coffee table blanket chest, she said, oh, wow, we could use some end tables that match. Yes, we could. Yes, we could. So that's what I got onto this week. So I've got those put together, figuring out how to mount drawers in them. I've never built drawers before. And so I bought the slides, and now I can figure out how to put the drawers in, you know, for the TV remote and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But made them to match, which I made two at once, which obviously it doesn't quite double the time because there's, you know, setup involved, but definitely adds some time to it. But I'll post some pictures next week. I'll get to painting tomorrow. Got all the holes patched and ready to paint.
Nice. And,
do that tomorrow. Yeah. And then we'll. Next week, next show, I'll post some updated pictures of those tables.
Okay.
All right. Reminder, monthly challenge is snapshot. Hashtag that, two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag, hey hosers, even better, do both of those and tag us at two hosers on Instagram. And we'll talk about that at the end of the month. I wanted to ask you about your big news. You said you'd talk about it on the show this week.
Yeah.
What's up?
Big news. Yeah, I've taken a job at a clinic close to home.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's big exciting news, because I've been for a long time commuting for work. For more than 15 years, I've been a commuter.
What was your hourly? So just to give the listeners a little sort of context, many, many moons ago, and that's a scientific term.
Yeah.
You used to live out by where your practice currently is, or up until 2 weeks ago was.
Right.
Like, you used to live out in a place called Langley. You can Google that on Google Maps.
Yeah, so it's between 45 minutes and an hour kind of from Vancouver.
Well, but originally, when you first finished up and you were starting off, you're hanging out your shingle, giving massages and that.
Sure.
you started your practice near your house.
Yes, because I lived.
That was the plan.
Yeah, so I lived out in. So we bought a place out in Langley. You know, pretty soon after we got married, mm-hmm. and then it made sense to find a job close to home. So I started practicing at a clinic that was pretty close to home, like less than 10 minutes. And then my wife was still working in Richmond, which again, right. 45 minutes to an hour away from where we were. And it mostly we bought out in Langley initially just because of real estate and pricing and all that. It made we could get a little bit more bang for our buck. And then after, I want to say it was about 2 years living out there, and I'd sort of established a pretty good thing at the clinic out in Langley.
Once that bang for your buck turned into gunshots out in the street.
Well, no, basically, I mean, the market did well and we could afford to sell what we had there with a pretty nice little profit margin, and then be able to afford something, in Richmond, which is where we wanted to live initially, just was unattainable for, new home buyers and where we were in our careers. So it made sense to go back to Richmond. And then I always thought, like in my job, there are lots of clinics everywhere. It's always been pretty easy to, if you decide to move practices, because generally clinics are always looking. There's not enough physios versus the jobs. And so I always kind of thought, if I decide that I would like to do that, then I will. But it just never happened because I was always happy where I was.
People like myself, had I not spoken to you about it many years ago, I would not have really thought about it. About it's not just that you were practicing out in Langley. You had built it wasn't your own practice, but you built a clientele.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Once you build that up, and not only that, once you build up clientele, you end up eventually down the road, you end up building up their friends as well.
Oh, that's exactly how it works. You kind of get to, and you not only do you build it up, you get to know the people, the families. Like I had so many contacts, the doctors in the area, and so mm-hmm. all of that equates to just kind of a good working environment and experience. And so I was always happy there. I had a schedule that I was very happy with, and so there was really no reason for me to leave other than the commute. The commute was the big kind of issue. And then, of course...
Okay, so what's that commute now? I think you said it's about 45 minutes each way?
Yeah, about 45 each way. I kind of had it worked out, so I was always going against any real traffic. So it was more just a distance thing. Like, it's pretty far, right. But it's all highway driving. But yeah, it usually took about 45 minutes, sometimes a couple minutes faster and sometimes a couple minutes slower. But that would be a pretty good average.
For the listener though, like where Adam lives in, like you live on the water, which means you have to drive across Richmond first.
Right.
Which can be half your drive.
Yeah. And so it's not far that part. It's just, that's where all the traffic is. And
right.
So you always got to give yourself a little bit of extra time. So I was always giving myself an hour. So, and then being there a little bit early. So yeah, I mean, you got to figure total time. It was basically, I was spending about 2 hours per day that I worked driving, and I worked, 4 days a week out there. And one day I didn't work just to, I made my other days a little longer just to save that one extra day commuting. So I was working a four day week. And again, it had always worked.
But then
well
you make
me.
Those days longer which, doesn't make that 2 hour commute any better.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
So then of course, like a lot of businesses, like the COVID-19 hits and a lot of clinics close just because we're not permitted by our governing bodies to practice. And so some practitioners move to telehealth, like essentially a video conferencing or telephone conferencing. But with the kind of clientele and the kind of treatment that I did, there really wasn't much of a clientele to do that for, because I wasn't treating, work-related injuries or third-party injuries where they would expect patients to keep up. And most of my treatment would be really hands-on treatment where, patients weren't going to get a whole lot of necessarily, they weren't going to get what they were used to from telehealth. So there just wasn't much there for me. So I was just off. And then, as clinics and the word from the government started to say, about rules about opening, our company that owned a lot of clinics just didn't have our clinic slated to open and didn't have an exact timeline. And so I thought, okay, well, if there's ever a time where, you know, it makes sense to look for something closer to home, then this would be the time. And so,
which is funny because I'm going to take the same kind of credit I took on the Brennizer method. Because if I remember correctly, you and I were discussing this off mic after one of the shows a couple weeks ago, and you hadn't told me, you hadn't mentioned anything, and I just said, you said, yeah, your clinic's slow to open. And I said, fine. I just said, hey, look for another job close to home. You got to do it. Now is the time.
Yeah.
Now, I take full credit for introducing that after you'd already considered it and done all the homework on it.
Right.
Yeah. However, I honestly do think that maybe a 1%, maybe it was a tipping point. Maybe if you had any doubt, which you probably didn't, but if you had, me coming in blind with that saying, quit your job, must have made you think, yeah, done.
Yeah, yeah. It was all that. No, I mean, it was, there's a lot of...
I'm taking 1% only.
Sure. You can take 1%. It just made all the sense in the world. Like, I mean, I could have looked for another clinic out in Langley where all the people I still knew, I would have been able to, you know, instantly have that connection to the community still. But then I thought, well, I mean, who knows? Like, with the way the world is dealing with this, who knows how things are going to work? And I mean, there's so much uncertainty about, you know, what working in healthcare is going to look like that I just thought it makes the most sense. If I'm going to start fresh, I'm going to start fresh close to home, and I'm going to work in my community. I also know a lot of people here, so there's contacts in the community. So it makes it, you know, from living in this, you know, Steveston, Richmond area for the last, you know, 11 years, it might even be 12 now, but yeah, because Jack's already 11. It makes the most sense to just kind of work close to home because we have no, you know, plans of going anywhere anytime soon.
Sure. No, of course not.
So I'm really happy. Yeah.
And you are like a 10-minute bike ride. If you're fast, but like, you're like a 10-minute bike ride that you won't ever ride your bike though, will you?
No, I'll be a 6-minute drive.
I'm going to need you to buy a bike. You need to buy like just a halfway decent 10-speed cruiser, and in the summertime you could ride your bike. It's a nice bike ride.
Yeah, I'm going to say that chances of that happening are zero. I don't know. I don't want to be sweaty when I get to work, and it seems like an impossibility.
Okay, make it a 12-minute bike ride then.
Okay, go really, really slow. I might as well make it a 30-minute walk and just walk.
Get an e-bike, and then you're good to go.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
It's not really a thing here, is it? Are there
e-bikes? Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be soon. If it's not, it's going to be. Trust me, it's a massive wave here.
Although okay.
I kind of don't like them. I'm not a huge fan of the e-bike.
Gotcha.
That's a rant. We'll go, that next week's show will be all about e-bikes.
Hey, and I'm trying to, like, for listeners out there, here's an aside. I'm trying to build up my LinkedIn profile visibility. So anybody out there who is out there on LinkedIn, feel free to request me, and then I can have a super impressive profile of contacts.
Right.
There you go. So there.
And do you want to give out the name of the new place or what?
Sure. Yeah, sure. They might as well do my own marketing. The clinic is Empower Physiotherapy. So EMPOWER, Empower Physiotherapy. And that's in Richmond, Steveston area.
Can you see actual Shady Island from your office?
No, there's buildings that obstruct that.
It's pretty close, though.
It's very close. Yeah.
So if anybody in the Lower Mainland needs a foot rub or something with peppermint, that's the where to go. Go see Adam at Empower.
That is a false promise, but
No peppermint.
No peppermint, but I am definitely a foot specialized. I have a lot of experience with feet. So there you go.
Obviously not. If you're not willing to use the peppermint foot lotion, then I'm not sure you're an expert.
Okay. All right. That's a good point.
Yeah. Write that down. Look, I don't want to run your whole career, Adam, but I'll take 1% on that. And then 1% credit. I'm not taking 1% of the back end.
Right.
Is that what you thought? Like I was wetting my beak a little bit? No. That's all you.
Okay.
That's all you. No, you made the right choice. I think like I even texted your wife after to say, hey, congratulations to you guys, because That's going to be a massive game changer. You know, like you're not typically a grouchy dude, but it's not like driving 45 minutes in traffic makes anybody feel good.
No, you know? and that's, I mean, it is pretty lovely to finish, because you know you work some evening shifts doing this career, and you know the difference is, you know, finishing at 7:30 at the clinic and being home at 7:35, or being home at 8:35, and it's you know, it's almost time for the kids to go to bed. So yeah, it just gives you time that you can spend with the family, which is terrific. And then you know, it's an extra, you know, 40 minutes in before the shift starts too. So whether that's a early wake up and having that little bit extra sleep, or being able to get a work in before you go to work, there's so many benefits that, you know, I that time is one of those things. It's hard to quantify what it's worth, but it's worth a lot to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, that is great news. I'm glad it worked out for you. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I only had the camera out once, and it was the other night. We went to the park with a couple of kids and parents kind of did their own thing, kind of stood around and had our little socially distanced kind of meeting time chat, and the kids played a little bit of baseball together. So
what's socially distance outside, like a meter?
Yeah, I mean, or again, 6 feet. I don't know, what is that, 2 meters? Yeah. So we all, you know, usually just get the chairs out and we space them out, and it seems to be what everyone does here. And then, yeah, I just kind of have a chat, and then the kids, you know, went out on the field and played around, and then I just snapped some shots of them playing after. So I had the 70 to 200, and then I mostly just snap photos of my kid. I did snap a couple of our, you know, two other close friends' kid, but then I never asked them if I could post anything. So turns out that my picture is the photo challenge, and the other photos I snapped of him are very much clones with different expressions. So, there isn't really much else to post from that little photo session, but yeah, that was the first time I'd kind of got the camera out for just kind of leisurely photo taking in a while. And it was a beautiful night. So it was nice. And I was happy with the shots, 'cause there was just, I mean, again, nice light. And you know, my son playing something that's so familiar to him that, you know, he was really enjoying himself. So, you know, all the photos I took were just kind of like smiley kid shots.
Nice.
But not posed, right? Like not posed stuff, which I like even better.
No, and we'll talk about that photo when we get to the photo challenge. But I did the same. I actually, my son, I think I talked about it a while ago when I broke it. But I got his glider put back together. And it flies great with more glue than glider now, but he loves flying it. So we went out, I guess last, I don't know what it was. Does it matter? It's last Saturday, maybe Sunday, and went and just threw the glider around. So I thought, oh, I'm going to take the lens I haven't taken out in a long time. I'm going to get the 70 to 200 and snap a bunch of photos of him throwing the glider. And I had forgotten how bad I had messed that lens up by dropping it on the steel floor.
Okay.
It didn't get better. It didn't heal itself.
Surprising.
In the months. Yeah, you know, now I'm thinking about it, I might send it your way for a peppermint foot rub.
That'll get it done.
That'll sort it right out.
Yeah.
So I've forgotten. I mean, it still sort of functions, but looking back, I wish I hadn't dropped it on that steel floor.
That would probably be advisable.
Although, next time I bump into Carly Rae Jepsen, she will remember having met me because of that incident.
And probably was the last concert that she ever did.
It was the last concert she has done. Yeah, yeah. She's supposed to do Coachella, like whenever that was, last month or this month or whatever. But that was postponed and then canceled. So, yeah. So I was at her last ever concert.
Yeah, and your daughter was, you know, in front of front row in her last ever concert.
That's true. Well, no, hopefully not ever. For now, ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a few months anyways. I don't know. Maybe she could play Iceland. Like Iceland, she can go on a tour of Iceland and New Zealand.
They're booking concerts here for next summer.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what they're doing really? Here. Like, I heard on the radio like Backstreet Boys concert rescheduled till, you know, August 2021. It was supposed to be, I think. I think this summer, and they're saying, so I think that's right. What's happening is they're all just pushing them back a year and hoping for the best.
Yeah. We need them to open up Empire Stadium again.
Sure.
Outside be fine. Be fine outside. Lumberman's Arch would be fine.
Okay. All right.
No, but Iceland's, they've cleared it out. Zero cases. Their life is normal there.
Nice.
So like if you fly there, like you can actually fly there, but you have to take a coronavirus test at the airport.
Yeah.
And wait for results. And if you're cleared, then you can just go and live your life. And if you're not, you have to go sit for 2 weeks in quarantine.
Gotcha.
Or you can just sit in quarantine anyways. You don't have to take the test if you don't want to, because it's not nice, apparently. They scrape out parts of your brain through your nose. So I don't think people like it very much.
Okay.
But so Iceland and New Zealand's the same. New Zealand, they're back to normal, zero cases. So, you know, thinking there's your tour.
Cool.
I don't know if you make any money doing that. But anyways, point being, I took the 70 to 200 out with me. And as you can see, it still functions internally, but externally it's a gong show. So like it did like the rings basically are just hard to turn. The focus ring is forget it. You can't even use the focus ring anymore. It will turn, but you can't fine tune focus. And the zoom is just kind of a pain. It will function, but it's just rats, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, photo looks. I still like the effects of the photo, and this is one I shot a bunch with my back to the sun, and then ended up the one I liked the most was with my son's back to the sun. And I'm shooting kind of into the sun with him being backlit.
Right.
And this is your typical 200 mil f4 shot.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. So I shot that. And then and the other day, a couple days ago, so my kids, they get the homework still, even though they're at school and everything. They get the homework to come home. My son's doing his math. He likes it. It just blows through it. And he's getting a little cocky, I'll be honest with you. Too cocky. He's not as good as he thinks he is.
Mm-hmm.
However, he says, "Dad, you know, like while we're doing this, can we listen to some music?" Yeah, I'll throw a playlist on there and go to do it. He says, "No, Dad, nothing with any singing. Maybe we could listen to some Ludwig von Beethoven." Like he actually used the full name, and I was like, "Yeah." Yeah, we can put Beethoven on. Are you kidding? So we did. I mean, I did have to kick his ass for being a nerd after, but totally worth it. Totally worth it. So anyway, so I ended up snapping a couple of black and white photos of just him doing his math homework. 50 mil lens, which I haven't used in forever. So 50 mil on the 5D Mark III. And I miss that lens. Why don't I use it more often?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, look, the eyes are in focus. Just everything's sharp. Just such a great lens. I'm gonna start shooting a lot more of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all good. That's the problem.
All the lenses or all the photos?
No, all the lenses that we've got.
But yeah, most of them. I'm hit or miss. Like the 24-105, I like-ish. I don't love it. Sometimes I love it. And then other times I'm like, yeah, it's fine. But, you know, for video stuff, it's awesome. So I'm glad I own it.
And that's the one I don't have, but I the 85, the 70 to 200, the, even that, 17 to whatever it is, 40, all of them, I like them all.
Yeah. If you keep not dropping your 70 to 200, you don't need the 24 to 105.
Right.
Yeah. The 24-105 was I purchased it for strictly for video and then kind of used it for other stuff like one of those Leatherman tools. Like it'll handle pretty much. It's not really good at cutting wires. Like if I'm underneath the bus and like Sandra Bullock's driving and I have to strip the bomb and I don't want a Leatherman. I want a proper bomb stripping wire strippers.
Right.
Right. However, for most stuff, if you're hiking in the woods, nice to have a Leatherman.
Gotcha.
Write that down.
Yeah, good analogy.
All right. And then one other thing, I shot at a job this week, a photo job that I'll actually talk about in the topic section. So.
Okay.
All right, photo challenge. On the photo challenge this week, it was simple, as I think it was just Adam's way of saying, I'm busy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's look at the photo of your son playing baseball. Because I have some thoughts. First of all, is that Blundell?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got
used to play there. Well, I used to play there a long time ago before that was even built. Like, we played on the other field, the one like behind him to his right, I think.
Yes. Anyways. Yeah, you can see the yellow fence from that one as well. Yeah, there's another field back there, the south field.
Right. Yeah, there was no fence when I played. It was just wide open. You wanted a home run, you had to leg it out.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, anyways, point being, I had a couple thoughts before we get into the photo.
Okay.
One, why are his shoes not tied up?
I know, I like that. They were, but then...
You like that. He looks like a half a bum.
No, it says 11-year-old, just not a care in the world. Like, you know, shoes untied. You know, it was the funny thing is in the photos, like from 2 minutes earlier in this photo shoot, they're tied. So somewhere along the line, he stepped on a lace or something and it became untied. And that's one of the reasons I chose this photo.
Was it like, just one of them?
What? Just one of them's untied.
Okay. Now, an untied shoe, totally fine with that. Like one that came undone. I thought he was just out there just like half-assing it.
No. It came undone in the process of running around. Yeah.
Okay. Second question. Does he play infield?
I mean, again, at his age, they play everything, right?
Like, yeah, but he's good. So typically the good players play infield at this age, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean,
what's he going to want to do? What's he going to want to play?
I think he's going to want to play infield, but hard to say. He doesn't particularly like being a catcher, so that much has been determined. And yeah, he likes third base, shortstop, first base. He's actually he's really good at tracking balls in the outfield, which again, at the younger kid age, like very few of them do well off the bat. And so he likes that because he can track most balls down. So again, I think he just likes all of it. Right now, he just likes being outside and throwing the ball around with anybody who will participate.
Okay. I'm just going to say, if you want him to be a good infielder.
Yes.
Then he needs a smaller glove.
It's not really that big of a glove.
It is. It's that big.
It's not. I swear to you. It's an infielder's glove. It's only, infielder's glove. It is. It really is. It's not. This is like 10 and a half, I want to say.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's tiny then. He might be too small.
He's not tiny.
No, he's not tiny. That's what I'm saying. Something's going on here because that glove looks way bigger than, like, I was surprised. I thought you were going to say it was a 40-inch glove. I thought, honestly.
No. And I agree. Like, in this picture, maybe the way he's holding his arm, I don't know, but it's really not. It's an infield glove. Yeah.
Okay. Because I would rather him. It's been so long since we talked kids baseball on the show.
That I'm sure everyone
are missing it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're just like, come on, tell me more about the length of your glove.
Well, here's the thing is you would rather have him play outfield with an infielder's glove than infield with an outfielder's glove.
Completely agree. Yeah.
Which is what I do. I have one glove. I think mine is an 11-inch. Like I have the smaller one. And I play outfield with that. I don't care. Like, I catch the ball in the same spot anyway. I don't need the big Devon White, you know, massive one.
Mm-hmm.
It was Devon White, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Devon. It wasn't Devon. I think
No, it was definitely Devon. It was Devon. Yeah.
It was Devon White. But he had the massive glove. He didn't have to run for balls. He could just, like, reach his glove out and catch everything. It was crazy. But no, I think you're better off doing that. So there you go. If you're at home thinking about buying a glove, buy the smaller glove. You'll be a better player for it. You get the ball out of the glove fast enough. That's what you want to do as a shortstop, third baseman. You want to be able to get that ball out rather than worry about getting it in.
Gotcha.
All right. So the photo wise. So yeah, you got great time of day. Probably hard to say. Probably like what, 8:30, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was right around 8:30.
Nice golden glow. We have it like a nice even light across the whole field. Just great light on him. great choice of lens. I mean, the 70-200 is made for this. It's a great lens, especially the version we have, the 70-200 F4L non-IS, which in this case doesn't really matter. You don't need the IS because outside you're probably at, I don't know what ISO you're at, pretty low, probably 400 or below. So you're probably at like 1/2000th of a second, I'm guessing.
I think it was less than that, but yeah. I mean, I think it was around 1/1000th or 1/1250th. And
1/1250th.
Yeah, a little higher ISO, I'm guessing.
Okay, ISO 1000. Oh, well, it's 843. I said 830. At 830, yeah. You could have gone with an ISO 400.
Sure, yeah. But it is getting, you know, close to where, you know, it is going to start getting dark. So, yeah, I know it's really nice to be able to use that lens. And even at ISO 1000, like, really no noticeable grain.
Right. Oh, no, of course. But the one thing that it really helps with here is that not the best looking fence.
No, not the best looking fence. And I took another photo with the, like, from a different vantage point to get the other fence that is a little bit better looking, but then there was there's more background distraction too from that angle, so there's kind of a no-win. I really just like the smile and the pose, and so that's why I went with this one. But yeah, there's a lot of fencing going on in this photo.
The fence is not your fault. You didn't build that fence. In fact, that's the fence we used to have at Minrua, Latrace Field. In the old Latrace Field I played at was that fence, because it was basically functional. You can take it up and, you know, you can take it down in the winter and play soccer and stuff like that. So it's more function over form. But I kind of wished, you know, in those times that we lived in some, you know, cool college town in the States that basically was dedicated to just baseball.
Right.
And just for photographic reasons. But overall, yeah, great, great, very simple, great photo. Nice to be back outside, too.
Mm-hmm.
So how many kids were out there? You guys take batting practice?
Yeah, there was four kids, and it was mostly just the kids doing their own thing. So, yeah, they threw to each other for a little while because they each wanted a chance to do a little bit of pitching. And then, yeah, they kind of just scattered themselves out and collected balls. So it was... It was, again, like, the whole idea with baseball is still there's a lot of rules about, you know, they don't want anything organized at this point. So in order to use the fields and not, you know, get yourself into any trouble with bylaw people, you leave the kids to do their own thing. So there's no problem with kids, you know, doing anything on the field and organized, but it seems to be the target of any issue seems to be if there's organized running. Now, that's soon to come because the baseball legislation wants to make sure that everything is going to be done in a way that's conducive to social distancing and so there are rules. So that's coming soon, but I'm not sure at the point where it comes if we're going to be able to do it or not. I'm not going to be able to coach because of my job schedule right now. So I'm not sure if Jack's going to do it or not, but we'll definitely still go out to the park and play with some of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess in the fall or next spring, we'll just pick up from there again. I think that's
more
a lot
fun for the kids anyways. I mean, considering,
yeah.
I mean, ideally what you'd have is the kids would play on their own and have a league to play in. But in absence of that, yeah, having your parents, you know, organize and stuff, that's no fun. We used to go out and play. We would go down when we were like little Jack's age, a little bit older. We'd go down to Stevenson Park. The softball, it was a softball diamond at the time. Now it's both, I think, right? Or it was both?
I'm not sure.
The one down by the karate dojo and the pool down there.
Yeah. Oh no. There's both, I believe. Yeah. There's the one. There's a hardball diamond and a softball, I think.
Right. So when I was growing up, it was just a softball diamond, but the fences are pretty short.
Right.
But still pretty high, relatively speaking. And so we would go down there. We'd have our own little home run derbies when we were hit, like I said, his age is a little, couple years older.
Yeah.
And as we got older, it got a little bit dangerous because we could start hitting him onto the dojo there. But so we had to stop. But that was more fun than anything. We would go down, like, you know, after school every day, ride our bikes down there and go have a home run contest. No L screens, just go nuts. Right.
Right.
Till one kid wore one in the orbital socket, but yeah, we didn't like him that much. He was fine. Actually, it was your brother-in-law who hit him.
Oh, no.
Oh, just KO'd him. Like, yeah, 35 feet away, hit a laser right off the orbital. Just broke. I think he actually broke his orbital socket.
Oh, no.
Other than that, pretty fun still, though. Still a pretty, okay. He went home. We stuck around.
Right.
Had some fun. But anyways. All right, let's have a look at mine. Yeah, there's my daughter, window light, simple.
Yeah, it looks great. I mean, it's, like you said, it looks really good. And if it's a simple execution, then there's the real value in this, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. So yeah, 85 mil on the full frame camera. I threw a 1/8 black Pro Mist on the front, which maybe that makes it less simple. I don't know, but you know, really just a wind on filter. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is just window light. And then I actually had my son stand in the background, and that's the so that sort of white wavy thing you see in the background out of focus is actually the curtain, which normally hangs up against the window. I can't believe I just explained curtains to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The thing about salt water is that like this, it's salty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Once you process that, I'll move on to the next phase.
I got it.
Yeah. So anyways, I had him basically hold the bottom out just so it would kind of stretch out and sort of create this sort of diagonal looking behind. And that's it. Just made sure she looked out the window, wanted to get catch lights in both eyes just to make sure they popped out. The mm-hmm. first couple of shots, she was looking straight out the window. Like for her, I guess because she's German and, you know, it's either on or off. Those are the two settings, you know? Everything's a square. Everything's a square 90. That's what it is. And so for her, I said, look out the window. So she looks like 90 out the window. It's just complete profile. I said, no, I want you to open up a little bit. And she's getting really good at taking direction now. So eyes up a little bit. I didn't want the eyes straight out. I wanted them up, but not too high. This and that, but just got her to position her eyes just right, just to get those catch lights in both eyes to make them pop out, and that's that.
Good, yeah, I like it.
Shoot window light is the takeaway on this. Mm-hmm. That's all you got to know.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear here. And you know, my photo was go out in the late evening right now, especially on a nice clear day, and take photos then.
Yeah, yeah. Just go out at noon on a Tuesday. And take photos of ugly people with a kit lens.
Sure, yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right, topic this week. It actually ties in with my photo a little bit because I'm going to be completely honest here. I had a pretty big crisis of faith this week.
Okay.
I had a job to do. I got a call to do a job. A friend of ours is opening a physio studio in town.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
Really?
Yeah, I'm serious. He's a physiotherapist. And so he's opening up he had one before or something. I don't know what happened. But point being, he's a physiotherapist. Wanted to open up one in a new development here in Tubingen. And it's a physiotherapy thing, but it's also like a high end gym, like a small with pretty much all machines, like super fancy machines geared toward, I don't know, old people.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll show you some of the pictures of the machines. Maybe you've seen them. They're all pretty, they're all like, they get the video screen on each machine and it guides you through some things. And I didn't get into all the details.
Gotcha.
Point being, he's just opening up now. Needs to have some photos on the website, and so he has asked me to come in. Said, "Hey, can you come in, take some shots of the studio we're needing for the site and the different physio rooms, and also take headshots of all the employees."
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, sure. I mean, that's what I do for a living. You know, photography.
Mm-hmm.
I was not happy about this. I was dreading it. I haven't done photos in a while like this sort of, I've taken photos and whatever, and I like doing creative things, but this is a job,
mm-hmm.
right? Which, that's life, like, I'm not whining about it. It's just that I was like, wow, I have never felt this level of blah. Now, he's not going to listen to the show, so we're good. But
okay,
I was just feeling blah going into it. I just didn't want to do it. And then it didn't help that right when I had to leave, like I had my gear packed up, but right when I had to leave, I was like right in the middle of building these end tables in my shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on a roll, and I just didn't want to leave. I love being in the shop. I love building things out of wood. I can't describe to you how much more I love doing that than anything else in my free time. Not in my life. I like my kids and stuff, but I mean, in terms of free time stuff, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to leave what I'm doing right now and go do a paid job. I don't want to do it.
Okay.
That's not good.
No, that's not good.
Okay. Anyway, so I left my groove and I went, I did the job because I'm a professional. And then I got there. And so I showed up there and they're still opening. And so like, there's still people working on the place. And it was kind of funny because he was like, oh yeah, I need some photos. Place isn't done yet, but I still need photos of it. And I was like, well, it kind of has to be done. Like I can't show stuff that's 3/4 done on your site. How do you want me to shoot that? What's the plan?
Right.
So anyway, so that was one thing. And then the other thing was I had to wear a mask too.
Yeah.
Because you're inside, and that's sort of the rules here are pretty lax ish, but the rules they do have are obviously strict on. And that's one of them is in the situation. So I had to shoot with a mask on for a couple hours, which was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I can suck it up. But I was, like I said, I was just dreading going there. And then I got there, and then for 2 hours, I hated being there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, first of all, you tell me what you think. Like first of all, shooting the pictures of the staff was fine, because that's kind of my wheelhouse. I like doing that. I like lighting it. You know, that part I'm okay with. But it was a lot of it was, hey, we need shots of these machines that are built for motion. They're like, you know, they're working your lats and your delts. You know, do I have to tell you all the muscles, Adam?
Sure. Go ahead.
You know what they are. No, but you know what muscles are, right?
Yeah.
They teach you that at foot rub school, right?
Right.
So anyways, so I have to go, he wants me to shoot these machines, which are designed for motion. So first of all, I have to shoot stills of machines that are designed for motion. Also, there's nobody there to be on them. There's no models at all. So these machines are stationary.
Yeah.
It was like pulling teeth.
Yeah, that's a tough one for sure.
And make it look good. Make it look like people want to be here.
But I mean, shooting, it's almost not worth it to shoot those machines without motion because it doesn't mean anything to anybody, right? Like you really
that's
do.
What I told them.
Yeah, you really do need a model. Like to be honest, other than someone selling a machine, I can't think of a scenario of. I mean, and I've looked at tons and tons of websites. Related to, you know, physiotherapy or gyms. And I've never seen a photo of just a static machine. I mean, unless it's a piece of cardio equipment, like a treadmill where everyone would immediately understand what its use is. Mm-hmm. There's always a person on there with that style of photography.
That's what I did tell him. I said, look, here's how this is going to go. I'll shoot a few shots of these. We'll see, you know, we'll see them. I said, but I'm going to come back. We're going to find a couple models. And shoot this with some action because like, again, I don't think you're selling. If you ever see a brochure for a summer camp, I'm guessing they didn't shoot it in February.
Yeah.
It's, you know, oh yeah, here's the cabin all run down full of mildew. We'll clean it up though. When your kid gets here in June.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, no, you got to see some canoes, smiling faces on the canoes and stuff like that. That's what you're selling. You're not selling the steak. You're selling the sizzle, man.
Mm hmm.
And that, and then also I'd explain, he's explaining his clientele, his ideal clientele. And he's going for an older crowd, with money really is what it is. Because there's gyms here that you can go and spend $20 a month on. That's not what he's selling.
Right.
However, I said, well, you still want to have, you know, people in their 30s as models. You don't want to have people in their 80s. That's my thinking. I'm actually asking you, what do you think?
I probably do a little bit of each.
I wouldn't go exclusively, But
yeah, I'd probably just have a range. I'd have a, you know, a if it's possible, a couple of male models, a couple of female models, and a bit of a range in terms of age, right. And for this sort of thing, just to, you know, more or less, like, don't narrow your potential clientele, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Plus, we also have, you also have the vanity angle. Now, I was explaining to my wife about this. I said, well, here's my mind. I've never taken a class on marketing or advertising, but this is just kind of how I imagine things when I see photos or like, you know, when you look at them, you sort of project yourself onto that person. Now you think, oh, well, hey, I would like to look like that. So you have a young, fit person, even if you're in your 50s and you mm-hmm. see somebody who's, you know, in their early 30s doing it, you're like, yeah, I'd like to be fit like that person. But also, people tend to imagine themselves looking younger than they actually look.
Okay. Yeah.
Or better. I think in general, you hopefully, you're ideally, you actually have a slightly better vision of yourself than maybe you really look like. And so you kind of project on that. So I'm not saying that, okay, yeah, we're going to have a bunch of 17-year-olds out there. That would be silly. But if you're like 50 and you have someone who's 35, it's like, okay, yeah, I could achieve that. It's a psychological trick that I think would work.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, that's not what bummed me out. It was the part of shooting the stills. And it reminded me of, so I had to think about it, because on the drive home, I thought, oh no, like, I'm at a crossroads here. Like, what's going on in my life? Because I've gone down this path. This has never happened to me before. I've had jobs that aren't as exciting as others, for sure.
Right.
But I've never had this where I'm like, I can't, I'm going to maybe throw my camera in the garbage when I get home.
Okay. I hope that's a little bit of a leap in your thinking.
Okay. Spoiler alert. It's not going to end that way, but on Tuesday night, that was my thought process. I was like, I'm going to throw my camera in the neck gar on the way home. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't ever want to do this again.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's how I was feeling. And so I powered through, shot the job, got all the shots done. I know I'm going to have to go back and do some pickups and with the models and stuff like that. So I admit, just personally, because of what's going on, whatever, I am far more interested in building things now than taking photos right now. That's, I just love that way more.
Okay.
To the point that if I actually thought there was a legit market for it, and I don't think there is, I would consider going down, like, go that route as a job.
Wow.
Other problem being, I'm not good enough yet. That's the other thing too.
Right.
I'm still kind of, I don't know, what's the second belt? Yellow belt?
Yeah.
I think I'm probably a yellow belt. But you'd kind of want to be a black belt if you're going to make any money selling right. custom furniture. So I'm not there. I'm still making mistakes. I have a lot more mistakes to do, to make, which, by the way, I hate doing. I fully accept the fact that I'm so new at this that I'm going to make mistakes, but it kills me every time. Anyways.
That's another podcast altogether.
Yeah. So I'm not good enough at this to actually do it for a living. I don't think I feel like a little bit, a few more reps, and I could get there. I don't know what the market is for that. Like, I start to look and price things out about, you know, what things cost me to make, like just the material cost, and then I think I could probably make 10% margin on that, which is not worth it for the week long of work. Right.
Right. Right.
Again, not good at business. That doesn't sound good to me.
Right.
But here's why I love building. I love the fact that there's a basic, you have to kind of understand the basic technique to building things out of wood. Like, there's certain things that you got to know. And then you have to understand which tools to use for which job. And then you have to know you have to have those tools, but you also have to know how to use those specific tools. Because, you know, a router is spoiler alert, much different than a table saw. Although you can achieve much of the same thing, some of the things you can achieve with one, you can achieve with the other, but then there's that they diverge entirely.
Right.
And then you have the design aspect, and this is like, so I like using the tools. I love physically using the tools. But I love, more than anything, I love the design angle. I love the sort of industrial design idea. The fact that you come up with you look around your room, you know, your house, and figure out, okay, what's going to go here? What do I need? First of all, physically, what is it that I need? What's going to look good? How's it going to fit in with the space? How big should it be? What sort of function should it serve? What sort of style should it do? Where's the style going to go? Like, you don't want to build something and then think, oh, okay, well, down the road, I'm going to make a left turn and start building shaker furniture or Victorian stuff. Like, you can't just do a left turn like that and make it fit.
Right.
So you have a micro level, you have a macro level, you have all these things. And then on top of the artistic, you have to think about structural. Okay, well, how big do you want it? Well, is that if it's that narrow, is it going to tip over? Or is, if the legs are that small, made out of pine, for example, they're going to break. So you have to think about that. How much is your son going to jump up on the coffee table and at a dance party? The answer
maybe.
Is yes. Yes,
yeah, maybe.
Or not
yeah.
Maybe. Not maybe. I built that with that in mind, that my daughter and my son could both jump up and down on it and not break it. That was part of the design.
Okay.
So you take all of these things, and then it's a matter of, okay, well, do you have a set of plans? Do you have a cut list and a set of plans? And the answer is no, I do not. And I love that. I developed a couple of skills I learned from people online on YouTube, and then take those and apply them to whatever it is that I want to make and just sort of start building. And I love it. I love getting into the situation and thinking, oh boy, I kind of need something here. What do I do? And how do you get out of that? And then all of a sudden, those techniques you learn on one that applies to something else. And then you got to finish everything. How do you paint it? How do you stain it? And it's, I tell you, I'm hooked. Like, I really want to go down this path.
Is this your way of announcing your photography retirement and your new podcast in woodworking?
There's no woodwork podcast. If you talk to me Tuesday night, it was my way of announcing my retirement.
Okay.
Things change in 48 hours.
Okay.
I got my mojo back.
Oh, that's where you're going.
Yeah. Okay. So Thursday morning, again, I'm down in the shop. The kids are at school. I'm down cutting some wood or whatever I'm doing. I'm doing the molding on the tables. Cutting corners, like cutting I'll show you a picture, but doing cove molding to accent the thing, which I just, not as easy as it looks either, you know? And so, but I'm enjoying it and using the compact miter saw for that and fitting it all in, the brad nailer to put it up. Oh, it's fantastic. It's just a great time. I promise you'd love it. You would love the brad nailer. I think probably would be your most favorite tool.
Well, definitely my most favorite nailer.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Pin nailer is pretty good. I don't have one of those. I heard they're awesome, except for they can follow the grain and skip around a little bit. But anyways, 18 gauge brad nailer. I love that thing on the air compressor. Anyways, so I'm back Thursday morning doing that. And then I get a message from the client. Oh, hey, one of the employees who wasn't there Tuesday night, she'll be in today at 5. Can you come back and take her picture? I didn't want to be there all as it was.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I got out. Like, I just broke out of prison. Like, you know, Andy Dufresne didn't tunnel back into Shawshank, did he?
No.
No. Once he went through the sewer pipe, that was it. Zihuatanejo, here I come.
That's right.
I said, okay, yeah, no problem. I'll be down there. So in my head, I was like, okay, like my wife's like, all right, we'll be gone for a couple hours. I said, no, I'm going to be gone. Like, it's a 10-minute drive. I got to park. You know, I'll be back in 40 minutes. Like, I'm going to be in and out of there. But like, no flies on. I won't need a mask because I can go in there and hold my breath the entire time. That's how fast I will do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can hold my breath like Tom Cruise in that Mission Impossible scene where he goes in the, I can't do that. That's excessive. So anyways, so I go in there, I pack up my stuff, get in there, and bam. Well, here's the other thing, too, is that when I went in to do that other job, I had not been in the building yet. It's a brand new building. Like, literally, the whole entire building is just, they're not even done it, finished it yet. So I didn't know what to expect visually. I didn't know what all, he didn't explain to me what he needed and all that stuff. So I went in cold, not really knowing what was going on. And that was not good. I should have had a game plan going in, a creativity. So being forced to shoot something creative on something that's uncreative because the stills of the motionless thing was tough. I should have known going in. No problem. So now I knew what to expect. I had to go in, replicate the setup. They wanted all the employee photos to look the same. The same lighting, same location, just for the website, bam, bam, bam. So all I had to do was go in, throw up the three different lights. I remembered where they were. I knew the settings. Changed a little bit of the mix because there was more sunshine coming in on Thursday than there was on Tuesday, and I had to kind of balance for that. But other than that, bam, 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 start to finish. In terms of shooting, was done in 30 seconds. Setup was 5 minutes. Takedown was 3 minutes. Out the door. Done.
Okay.
I was back. That was my wheelhouse. I was like, okay, I can do this. I don't have to quit photography.
How Alan got his groove back.
Well, there's that. And then the photo challenge. The photo challenge. Did, like, honestly, shooting the photo of my daughter today, I'm really happy with the photo and the way we shot it. I was like, you know what? I have not done this in a long time. This is what I like to do. This is how I like to be creative. This meant something to me.
I'm glad to hear.
So there you go. So from now on, I'm just going to make cameras and stuff in my shop.
We almost lost you there. That was close.
At the risk of sounding a little bit hyperbolic, you didn't lose me, but almost lost my camera. It was a weird week. Maybe it's because the whole world is weird right now.
Yeah. That's probably part of it. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, what I'm telling you is you had no idea, you had no way of knowing that suggesting the simple photo challenge was going to basically pull me out of the depths of hell. But you did. That was part of, again, 1%. 99% was me going in and banging out that photo quickly. Bam. Like, I knew I could still do it.
Yeah.
So there you go. If you need to get your groove back, focus on the simple. There's a guy I listen to who basically says, you want to have a macro view of everything, but once you're performing a task, make your target small. And right. That's what you can do with something like that. And make your world small. That's what he says.
Okay.
And that's great advice. I recommend you follow it.
And I'm going to do a job next week, a photo job that, I'm sure I'll have something to say about next week when I do the grade 7 grad photos. Or I'm going to do like 40 kids. And I think they've got it scheduled. So you get 10 kids over the course of like 45 minutes or something like that. And then you get the next group and the next group. So all going to be done with one setup that I'm going to, go in the morning, create the setup, and then just, they're all going to stand on the mark, take the photo, move along. And so I'll show Sarah's version anyways.
Nice.
Yeah.
We'll see how you do. If you get three kids in and just think, forget it.
Yeah, it's over.
I'm just selling my camera and buying more peppermint foot lotion.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Monthly challenge this month is snapshot. I will take it. I'm not quitting. Just in case anyone's at home is, worried. We're back. I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Okay.
Monthly challenge is snapshot. Hashtag two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers on the Instagram. Even better, do both of those and tag us at two hosers and we're sure to see it. There you go. A challenge for next week. It's funny. I made this. I wrote this down before you even showed yours.
Okay.
So you're going back to back. Back to back. You just use the same photo. It is evening light. That's the photo. That's the weekly challenge.
Okay.
Seems reasonable. We're going to be out in the evening. It's going to be light out. It's nice. It's going to be beautiful. Hey, take a photo of it.
Okay.
All right. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
They can find me at adamschwartz.ca. And don't forget to join me on LinkedIn. Anybody out there, Adam Schwartz on LinkedIn. Empower Physiotherapy. That's where you can find me.
Do it. You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.